to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery, leadership revolution, and life success. Learn something new from our mentoring conversation today.
Nancy, I just think you do a phenomenal job. I mean, you really are really listening to what I'm saying, and you're really finding the connections and kind of weaving everything together to really have a more powerful message for your audience. And I'll be honest, you actually helped me learn about myself through this as well. So, no, it was a very powerful conversation with you. Thank you.
Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. You're here and listening. And in the studio today, along with Mike Cabea and I, we have Annette Rondano for our third mentoring conversation. She owns the Great Metropolitan Back Rub, which she founded in 1995. You've heard her journey. You've heard her passion. You've gotten some really great information about the importance of back rubs and naturopathic remedy and taking your health into your own hands. The Great Metropolitan Back Rub, no appointments. You know, you can call last minute, you can pop in, there's no oils, no showers, it's fully clothed therapeutic massage or shiatsu by the minute. So if you've got 10 minutes and you really, really need to get that little shoulder thing worked out, that muscle, because you got a kinked neck, you know, it could take 10 minutes and you'd be good to go. The Great Metropolitan Back Rub is the Twin Cities' most convenient, affordable, absolutely best massages in Minnesota, and that is stated by WCCO/CBS. What an endorsement. Well, welcome back. How's your energy level?
Hi, good. Thanks, Nancy.
Yeah. How are you feeling?
Good.
Yeah?
I feel good.
Give me some feeling words.
Oh my gosh, good isn't good enough. All right.
No, it's just not a feeling word.
Right. I'm feeling determined.
Ooh, nice.
I know. Determined is the feeling that I have.
Okay.
So,
well, very good.
Yeah.
And today in our conversation, we thought, and Annette is right, there are not as many brick and mortar businesses that are out there right now. And we think that we need to talk about
small businesses. There's plenty of brick and mortar businesses. They're all huge.
Yeah, right. There's been such a transition in the world with of business and big stores, superstores.
Yeah.
It's gotten crazy. And it's inched out a lot of small business owners. But there are enough of us out there, right? There's 28 million
small business
micro
owners.
Business owners.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing.
Yeah. So, and 28 out of, I should say 28 million small business. Out of that, 22 million of those are micro mini businesses. So there's one sole proprietor.
Right.
Running the business.
Right.
It's a lot. So they're still alive and well. A lot of them are in professional services and less in brick and mortar.
Right. Well, and I can understand why people are shying away from brick and mortar. For one thing, the developers that own the land are charging so much money for leases that it actually would make your head spin. I just helped my dad's manager buy his business after he passed away and was stunned to see that in order to have a frame shop, she was going to be taking over a $6,000 a month lease.
Yeah.
That's a lot of frames that you have to sell just to make up your
rent.
And that doesn't include your payroll. Right. So when you have a brick and mortar business, you've got a lot of things. And I don't want to discourage people because I don't think that that's the point. But there are things that you have to take into consideration. And that's one of the things that scares people off. I'm going to have staff. We're going to have hours. And I'm going to have to pay rent. And am I going to be able to make it? And so
how have you done it?
How have I done it?
Yeah, because you've been very successful. You've got how you utilize the space that you're in is really incredible.
Yeah, well, I'm super lucky. The store that I have in Highland Park in St. Paul is only 550 square feet and is incredibly reasonably priced. Now, that said, if I had more square footage, I could also do more with it. And so I am actually on the verge of very seriously considering.
What?
I know, moving into a bigger space because there's more things that I want to do in the wellness industry. And I feel a little cramped right now with 550 square feet. So,
because you've got 17, right? Therapists.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
That work out of that space, not
right.
all at the same time.
No, but we have three tables. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a front desk and a reception area and a bathroom. Like, that's all that's there. So it's really like a barbershop for your back. And, you know, and we're getting to the point where we're turning so many people away on the weekends that we really do need more space so that we can serve more people on the weekends. And
yeah.
So I'm not sure how that's going to go, but I'm not afraid of it. And one thing that I know about brick and mortar is that you really have to kind of dive into it. You know, you kind of have to go headlong. I don't know how people own restaurants, and look at how many restaurants there are. I mean, not only do they have to do a whole build out because whatever restaurant opens has to be the most fantastic layout, right?
Yeah, right.
And the most amazing decor. And like, they're going to want to get written up in the city pages, and it all has to be amazing and fantastic in order for them to open. And then on top of that, they have to be inspected by the health department and have the best kitchen, you know, everything, and, you know, not a cockroach on site. And, you know, and then they have to have all this payroll, all these people and all this payroll to run, and they're open way long hours and always 7 days a week. And wow, I don't know how they do it. You know, there's a million ways to have a brick and mortar business. And so, but I would really encourage people to think about it because our world has become so boring because everything is corporate. So even in Highland Park, in this little village that my little store is in, you know, has become very corporate. The same kinds of places that you can find every place are there. There's a Chipotle, there's a Target, there's a Patina.
There's a Patina's Walgreens.
There's a Walgreens, you know, there's all of these things. You know, but there's also a locally owned bar, you know. So, I mean, we wouldn't have a bar if it weren't for people who are willing to have brick and mortar because, I mean, there are corporate bars, but there aren't any in the little village that I'm in because there's only so many liquor licenses. And I think one is for that whole village. So he's got it sewn up. But there, it's really becoming so corporate that it's so boring. It's amazing. But one of the things that people really like in our culture for some reason is they like local, but they like consistency, you know? So if you're going to have a brick and mortar business, you better plan on having one that has consistency. So if you're going to be in a business district where everybody's open every day, you might want to be open every day. There's an eyeglass shop next to me that's not open on Sundays. I think that's a mistake on their part. I think they should be. But I also honor the fact that they want to have a day off and they seem to do okay. And I think eyeglasses, they make a lot of money in eyeglasses, so they probably can do that. But the rest of the village is all open 7 days a week. And so if you're going to be in a brick and mortar kind of experience, you've got to know that you're going to have to be open, you know, because people are going to be expecting that. And of course, people are coming in. Like if you're closing at 5 o'clock, most people are pouring into that business district at 5 o'clock because they're all getting off of work. So if there's a busy time of day, it's usually between 5 and 8. So being open in the evening doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
You know, so, and people love to shop in our culture. And so there's no reason not to have a brick and mortar business. Believe me, if you open your doors and you have something that people that you know, and I would research it, I would look and see.
Always doing the research.
Do some research.
The marketing research.
Yeah. Well, look around you. You can see. I mean, just like maybe you don't want to necessarily eat at McDonald's because you see everybody there is unhealthy. You may want to make a store that's like another store that has a lot of people walking in and out of it. I mean, one of the most successful.
Well, we could use a lot more health restaurants.
Oh, I know. Healthy. Well, and that's one of the new chains that's moved into Highland Park. It's the one that's over at the MIA. It's called
Veggie Only.
It's like agriculture. I think it's called agriculture.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, they have healthy foods. People really like it, you know. Yeah. They try to pare down on the waste. I mean, a lot of new businesses that are you know,
they've
duplicating
got the social
themselves.
Conscience. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of very cool stuff going in, but there's still plenty of people who would love to go to a small business where you walk in the door and they know who you are because you come in semi-regularly or often, you know.
Yeah.
So people do like that stuff. Tea shops and anyway, brick and mortar is fun. It's worth doing. My dad's manager bought his store. So she laid down some money. She picked up his $6,000+ a month lease, and she's doing it.
Yeah.
You know, she bought an existing store. That's another way of doing brick and mortar. People are trying to sell brick and mortar stores all the time, and they're not always doing it because it's not a good time or it's not a good experience or they're not making money. Sometimes they're doing it because they're doing just fine, but they've had some kind of a health crisis or their family has different needs or they have to move out of town or, you know, there's all kinds of reasons why somebody may sell a store. And if you look in the Minnesota Business Journal, you can see a list of businesses that are for sale every day. And you could spend a lot of money and buy a franchise. And maybe that's what you'd like to do. Maybe you'd like to have a Menchie's or a McDonald's or something like that, a Massage Envy, for example. And they have rules about how much money you spend. I understand that you can't get into a Massage Envy unless you've got $300,000 in escrow ready to dump into this business. So I'm telling you that you can start a massage business with a chair and a rug and a chalkboard. But I mean, really, you can start a you can start a massage business for probably about $10,000, 15 maybe, you know. It just doesn't take that much energy to start something that's this. I mean, this is a low budget business, massage therapy, because once you've got your equipment, you know, people are just happy to lay down and get body work. It doesn't have to be the best thing that they've ever seen. It doesn't have to be amazing, you know.
Yeah.
Although the back rub is amazing, I'll give you that. But it's taken me years. I mean, I've been in business for 22 years.
Yeah.
And it really is an amazing little space, and I've worked really hard to make it that way.
So what's on the horizon, and how do you see the complementary services that hospitals are starting to offer? Is that an area of growth for you?
If hospitals are offering them, people are not having access because hospitals are not able to do it as well as they'd like. Complementary services is something that we're always doing because we're always referring people out. What I'd like to do is bring complementary services in. So that would include having somebody who has office hours that does nutrition counseling, somebody who has office hours that does acupuncture. And there's a kind of acupuncture called auricular acupuncture, where you're just throwing needles into somebody's legs from the calves down and
just
hands,
throwing them, huh?
Yeah, throwing them in. I mean, that's what they say. I'm just going to throw in a few needles, yeah. Right? That's what they say when they're doing
it. In the biz.
Exactly. So from the knees down, so you roll your pants up, you know, you don't have to take off your clothes. You sit in a nice relaxing chair.
Yeah.
You roll up your sleeves, you roll up your pants, you know, you open up your collar and they put some needles in your head, in your hands, and in your feet and lower legs. And that's called auricular acupuncture, which is the basis for community acupuncture, which you're seeing community acupuncture clinics open up all over the Twin Cities. And that's because acupuncturists, even though the medical industry is talking about complementary therapies, they're not getting on it very fast. So people are graduating from acupuncture schools because they want to help people with Chinese medicine. But the allopathic system, again, allopathy means that they treat symptoms. So the reason why they call it complementary therapies is because somehow it complements the fact that they're treating symptoms. Well, actually, it's the antithesis of that. I mean, if you're treating somebody's symptoms, you can't treat them with Chinese medicine at the same time. So like somebody who is on opioids, for example, is not going to, because their liver is being compromised, they're not going to be able to absorb any nutrients that you give them to help to delete their cancer, because the liver needs to be fully functioning in order for somebody to get rid of their cancer. So you really have to work on the organs in order to make that happen. And so much of the suppressing nature of allopathy completely belies the possibility of complementary medicines, complementary therapies of even, and actually they're medicines. That's another thing. I mean, this drives me nuts, Nancy. I know we're talking about brick and mortar, but think about it. I mean, everybody think about this for a second. You've got $400 a month that you have to spend on health insurance. What does it pay for? It only pays for allopathy. Allopathy is only one medical system.
Yeah.
We have so many medical systems. Chinese medicine is a medical system. Homeopathy is a medical system. Chiropractic is a medical system. So what's happened is allopathy has been able to sew up the whole, they get the whole thing, They get the whole market, right? So,
and it's tied up with insurance. And so the insurance companies actually need to team up with the homeopathic.
Yeah, but the insurance companies, they're all in it together. The medical system is one big pharmaceutical insurance.
I know. Yeah.
You know, it's all one big pile of.
I know. I don't know how they could. I wish they could separate out, you know, all the tie-ins together. Even if you get, even for mental health issues, you know, you have to be diagnosed. It used to be, I mean, you can go to therapy now, but pretty easily without a diagnosis.
Yeah.
And insurance will pay for some of it. So that's gotten better. But it's still really feeling like, you know, once you get in the system, you know, like you don't know where you're going to be scammed or how much insurance is going to be really paying for what you really need. I mean, all the things that I've done before I had hip surgery came out of pocket.
Right, out of pocket. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
None of my classes.
Right. Well, so there's this thing called allopathy, and there's things called, then everything else is out of pocket, and they call it complementary because you're complementing them. Right? The allopathic system, right?
Oh, I mean, it's interesting.
It's its own way of taking charge of everything and saying, oh, well, aren't you complimenting me? Sort of like, you know, like the beautiful woman hanging on the arm of the man that doesn't ever get to say anything because he just wants her to shut up, you know, because she's there to make him look good, right? And I feel like that about alternative medicine, all of the therapies that are out there are apparently making the allopathic system look better, even though everybody who's doing them knows that allopathy has basically hit the wall. There are things that they do really well and they can't just stick with that. You know,
they want to control the whole industry.
They want to control the whole industry. Exactly.
And how people take care of themselves.
Right.
And that's why, like, Dr. Mehmet Oz, he wrote a book on the manual, to take care of yourself and demand from the medical field what you need and how to take care of yourself. But even for like an annual checkup, I searched out a very doctor that was more modern aged, and I just said, you know, the likelihood of me getting ovarian cancer is less than 1%. So I'm not doing all the screening down there.
Right.
I like went in and kind of said, these are the tests that I'm going to do. And frankly, I'm, you know, more prone to be diabetic than anything else. So let's focus on getting my diabetics and my insulin levels at the right level. But I had to really push to even have them check my blood and my cholesterol levels. That was not normal in my annual checkup.
What you may want to look for, and everybody else who's listening may want to look for a clinic that is a functional medicine clinic, because what's happening is that doctors, medical doctors who are tired of the system itself are opening up something called functional medicine clinics. Another brick and mortar idea. Like, it looks like it's part of the medical system, but it's not. They're literally opening their own clinics. They're calling it functional medicine, and they're giving people more choices, and they're giving people more possibilities for getting well.
Are they covered? Are their services covered by insurance?
Yes, because they're medical doctors. If you're a medical doctor, your service is covered by insurance. Yes. If you're a chiropractor, it's not. So, but it is a really excellent example of a brick and mortar business, is a functional medicine clinic.
Oh.
So,
yeah.
You know,
I'll do a little research and put some resources in the show notes for people.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, we have functional medicine clinics here in Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Okay.
So, but these are not complementary therapies, and that's not the way they're looking at them. They're looking at it as everything that they're doing at a clinic like this is for functional medicine is the new way that everybody else is reframing it so that allopathy doesn't get to hold all the cards, right? What they're doing is called medicine. What we're doing is called functional. Right? This is functional medicine. So
do they address the whole person?
Yeah,
then?
That's why. Yep, exactly.
Oh.
Well, because it's the way we function, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we are really, really just
based on all of our systems.
Right. Our systems. We are a machine.
Yeah.
Our machine needs to be, it needs to be fed. It needs oils. It needs water. It needs, you know, all of these things. It needs exercise. It needs sunlight. I mean, we're not unlike any other organic system, and we're not unlike the planet. You know, so we're all just literally living, breathing organisms, and we function, and we need ways of approaching ourselves that's much more functional.
Hmm.
So
functional medicine.
Functional medicine. Look it up. And they have actually, you know, conferences and everything. And so that's, you know, taking medicine back.
Okay. You know? So for you, I think that this industry, if there's a way in which you can grow with their model or somehow be a part of.
Yeah. I am working on something along those lines, and I'd love to share that with you sometime. So,
okay.
I mean, it's too big of a conversation to have here, but I would absolutely agree with you that, you know, that, well, for now, the for now,
yeah.
Let's start all over. For now, the massage industry is not included as part of any of these things. Massage therapy is really its own, you know, kind of like animal in the world. It is really directed by the people who are in it, and the people who are not in it don't understand it. So the more people get body work, the more people are going to understand it. But when you're
what about like myofascial release?
Yeah.
Now that's kind of by using that. That's part of our functional system. Some massage therapists who do that are being paid by a medical.
If they're working under a physical therapist, or if they are a physical therapist, they can charge on insurance for myofascial release, but not. You know, not just because you've studied myofascial release. You have to have credentials. You have to have, you know, letters after your name, you know, in order to fit into that system. And the chiropractic industry has been working for decades to attempt to still to be seen as doctors, because they are doctors of chiropractic, you know, and Chinese doctors are doctors of Chinese medicine, right? And so these are people with doctorates. Naturopaths have a doctorate in naturopathic medicine. I mean, they do everything even more than what they do in medical school. And they do cadavers and all of the whole nine yards and take pathology and all of that. I mean,
and
these people
take x-rays.
Or they can order them or whatever. So there's all this latitude they have to do things. But for example, our 2% Medicare. Like when you go to the doctor, you pay a 2% tax on every visit, or somebody pays it, right? I mean, typically. So the 2% tax pays for Minnesota MinCare. That's what it pays for in Minnesota. So it's the MinCare tax, right?
Okay.
If you're a doctor of acupuncture, right, a Chinese medical doctor, you have to charge your patients that 2% tax, but you are not considered something that's covered by Minnesota Care. So you're paying Minnesota Care to function, but Minnesota Care won't cover your patients. And that's true of chiropractors. They charge the 2% tax, but they may or may not, most likely not, be covered by Minnesota Care. I mean, Minnesota Care is not repaying them for people's visits. Right? You have to be in exactly the right PHP or the right, and, you know, maybe, and you have to be willing to do that insurance billing in order to make that income. So massage therapists aren't even close to that because we're not even licensed in Minnesota. So we pay, when you get a massage, you're paying whatever the entertainment tax is for your area that you're getting a massage in. In St. Paul, it's 7.78%. So yeah, that's how much you're paying for your massage because it's not considered medical. And then if we were to contribute to MennCare, we still wouldn't be able to charge MennCare for the people that we work on so that people can get a lower price.
Gosh.
You know, so we're a long way from that system, you know, really considering even these therapies as being included in the medical system. They're not even really complementary. Complementary in this case means you can go there if you want, but we're not going to cover it. And that's literally what it means. So anyway, we're not part of the big group. We can't be part of the big group.
Okay.
The big group is allopathy.
Okay.
So we've really deviated from our original.
Well, the brick and mortar.
The brick and mortar.
Well, how do you want to sum up with the brick and mortar?
Well, we don't have to. I mean, we don't have to sum it up. Because there's, you know, there's so much you can say about brick and mortar businesses, Nancy. I mean, there's so much to talk about. And the thing is that if we go into that conversation, it might be worth talking about, you know, what should people do if they're really even thinking about signing a lease, right? I mean, because rule number one is go get an attorney, because you should never sign a lease without an attorney, ever. Yeah. Even if you've signed a million leases
before.
There's
some nuts and bolts about brick and mortar businesses. Yeah.
Yeah, there are nuts and bolts about brick and mortar businesses. But I would really like to encourage people to not shy away from doing them because they're afraid of any part of it. If you're the kind of person who likes to stay busy, a brick and mortar business is going to keep you busy. It's really what it's going to do. It's really like buying yourself a job, you know, but, you know, and you get to shop typically, you know, because you have to buy things. So.
Yeah. Well, it's business ownership. So, you know, there's sacrifices that you make along the way. And
that's right.
Your goal is to really pay yourself. The industry that you're in, it's very difficult to make a really fantastic living.
Because people are paying out of pocket for it, yeah.
Yeah, and you're not getting the support of what people in the medical field are normally getting paid.
Yeah.
So anyways, that you know, we just see the discrepancy in different industries. That's why it's important to have the passion behind what you're doing, and you are making changes along, you're educating people about their health. And
well, the industry is changing no matter what. I mean, the medical system is going to be changing, and someday, and who knows when, massage is going to be included as part of what it is that we get as part of our medical system.
Yeah.
I mean, we're a long way from that, but that doesn't mean that it isn't going to happen someday. I mean, it just probably will.
Well, and you're part of the change.
Yeah.
And, right?
Yeah.
That's what you're here
That's right.
for. Great.
That's right. Power ahead.
Yes. Power ahead. Good note to end on. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Nancy.
Three wonderful conversations, and I'm really glad that to call you a friend.
Oh, me too. Thank you, Nancy.
Yeah.
And thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike, videographer, photographer, brother from another mother, also audio engineer. Couldn't do this without you. All right. So we'll see everybody next week. Keep at it. Keep doing great work. And thanks for tuning in.